BFM's Budget 2019 programming, presented to you by Mossing.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the evening edition with Lynn and Uma. We are continuing our Budget 2019 coverage with an aspect that we haven't fully discussed yet. We've been talking about how it affects the M40, how it affects businesses, but we haven't really covered the social welfare aspects of it. Women, you know, initiatives for older people to return to the workforce, things like that.
Ex-cons, even.
Exactly, yes. So let's cross over now to Dr. Saidatul Akmal Mohammed. She's the Associate Professor and Economist at University Sains Malaysia. Dr. Saidatul, thank you for joining us. One of the three main focuses of Budget 2019 was to ensure the welfare of the people. Do you think that goal was achieved?
I think the people were basically anticipating this particular budget. People wanted to know whether BRIM will still be there, whether subsidy will continue, whether the students would still have their scholarships. And I am glad to hear that these things are still continued during this budget 2019. And I think the welfare issues of the bottom 40, addressing the issue of cost of living, addressing the issues of labor supply in the market with regard to women. These are all welfare issues that have been addressed somewhat adequately in this particular budget by 2019.
So which groups of society do you think stand to benefit most from this budget?
If you look at that particular section, or if you hear properly what the minister mentioned, it's mostly benefiting two main groups, that are the bottom 40, as well as the women, and the elderly for that matter as well. For the bottom 40, you are looking at the cash assistance that they would be receiving, the petrol subsidy that would benefit them. And this is something that I had been waiting for quite some time as well, how to basically rationalize the petrol subsidy to actually give it to the group that are actually in need. Because I think this is what would benefit the lower income group much. And then you're also talking about providing more opportunities for the elderly as well as the women. Because when you talk about welfare, the welfare of the vulnerable groups are basically most important to be taken care of. And this particular budget of 2019 has addressed the issues of the bottom 40, women, as well as elderly.
So let's get into that a little bit. There is an incentive now for companies to retain older workers, specifically a reduction in the statutory contribution rate for post-retirees to 4% from 6%. What benefits will this give the economy as a whole, to either have people working for longer or having older folks returning to the workforce?
Personally, I don't really like that particular reduction from 4% to 6%, because this would mean that elderly who continue working in the labour market would then contribute less, would have less accumulated savings in their EPS. But on the other side, when you look at the company, this would definitely be an incentive for them, because you know their costs would reduce. Reducing their costs would also mean reducing the accumulated savings by the elderly. But if this is what it takes to encourage the businesses to continue employing the elderly in the labour market, I would say this is a good incentive. Whatever savings that we can encourage, whatever savings that we can continue prolonging in the Employee Provident Fund, that would mean that the elderly would continue accumulating wealth even when they are retiring. And whatever savings that goes into EPF can be used as investment to the economy. So there are basically pros and cons, cons to the elderly, but pros to the company. But overall, if you weigh, you know, the positive and the negative, it would be a good incentive to make sure that the elderly continue in the labour market, contribute to the labour supply, keep on accumulating wealth for their retirement, and making sure that they also contribute to the wealth of the nation.
And when it comes to women, one highlight was the 10 million ringgit that was allocated to build 50 daycare centres in government buildings. Do you anticipate increased participation by women with this initiative?
I'm not sure how it's going to impact the women, because it's not just about having the daycare. It's also about allowing women a more flexible working hours. And you're talking about allowing the women to have a bit more of flexibility to care for their family at the same time to continue working. And if you talk about the private sector, where the demand is a bit more challenging compared to the public sector, this may not benefit the women that much. So it would be helpful, but I wouldn't think that it would solve the problem of encouraging more women to the labour market, because what we actually need is to making sure that the women knows that they have these opportunities, making sure that even if they have a daycare centre, they can still go to that particular daycare centre at a particular time to feed their kids, to nurture their children, but at the same time not neglecting their work. And I think that would be a bit more challenging for the government to address, because this would also mean taking time off from their work hour instead of focusing more on whatever they want to do at the workplace.
Having said that, do you feel that there were any groups that were either overlooked or insufficiently addressed?
Yeah. When you talk about a budget, you can never satisfy everyone. That's one thing that all of us need to know. As one vulnerable group that has not been receiving proper attention in this particular budget is the disabled group. How to actually manage this group, you know, with regard to the allowances provided by the appropriate minister to the OKUs, the employment opportunity to the disabled people. These have been mentioned, I think, and it would be taken care of by the relevant ministry, but it would be also be great if something about their welfare, the disabled groups, opportunities and incentives are somewhat mentioned in this particular budget. And I also think that the other group that also needs some attention is the students. Although education has received a lot of allocation for this particular budget, but I do really think that there should be a bit more emphasis on what the students at the higher education level would receive. There was no specific allocation provided to students at the higher institutions. You know, what about their continued migraine, the continued my PhDs? One thing I forgot to mention just now is, you know how the government has introduced incentives for the elderly in the EPF to make sure that the housewives are well taken care of through that iSuri, but there is no mentioning about the workers in the informal sector. In the past, we had that One Malaysia retirement scheme, but now they have changed it. I think this is well absorbed under the new health scheme that the government is introducing. But I am not sure how well the informal sector is going to be impacted, because as it is, we don't have many of them contributing to the EPF. And now if the government does not help with the matching contribution as what they are doing with iSuri, as it is, the informal sector is also another vulnerable group that is not properly protected for their retirement expenses.
Before we let you go, Dr. Saidatul, what's your overall sense of the impact that Budget 2019 will have in the long term?
I would say, for the low-income group, definitely it would help the low-income group to ease their burden with regard to their daily expenses, because whatever had been introduced with the cash assistance, with the subsidy in petrol, the other one is about the electricity, that would definitely increase the disposable income of the low-income group, and this would definitely provide them a better spending and a better standard of living now as well as in the future, or at least for the next 1 year. And I would also say the second thing is about the human capital, because I think the education sector as well as the health sector have been given great emphasis for this particular budget, because when you talk about education and health, the return is not today. The return is also not tomorrow, but the return is in the long term. The third thing is about the health, because this is the first time that the government actually introduced the health insurance scheme for the low-income group. Because when you talk about human capital, you're not just talking about education, but you are also talking about health. And we know that health is one of the most expensive spending in Malaysia or also in many other countries. And having the protection for the low-income group to purchase insurance and to protect themselves from various diseases, that would definitely help and ease their burden. And this, coupled with education, coupled with the easiness in their standard of living, this would definitely create great impact to the economy.
Dr. Saidatul, thank you so much for weighing in. That was Dr. Saidatul Akmal Mohamed, Associate Professor and Economist at University Science Malaysia, talking to us about the social welfare aspects of the budget. We've been asking you for your thoughts, and you've sent in a lot of actually pretty thoughtful messages. Unfortunately, we can't get to them because we've got to head to the news. But again, thank you so much for getting in touch. I suppose you can keep it coming.
Yes, please keep it coming.
Yes, but we don't have time right now to read them. Anyway, we're headed to the news, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM's Budget 2019 programming was presented to you by Ma Sing. Reinvent spaces, enhance life.